on, hopefully at the end of Consumed, I retire as a full-time pastor at Gateway Church in Winnipeg. I turned 63 in October. God spoke to myself last August and to Pauline in September, and he said the same thing, which is a great relief. So we're retiring to a wider role. We're taking a step of faith to see what God's going to get us into. It was also our 40th wedding anniversary this summer, so we had a wonderful 2 weeks celebrating. We had a family reunion in British Columbia. God wonderfully provided some great cabins for the whole family. And we have our oldest daughter and family live in Vancouver on the West Coast. Our son and his wife, he's a lieutenant in the Canadian Navy, are on the East Coast. And Andrew and Ruth live in Winnipeg in the middle. So we feel like we have Canada covered. But I had a lot of days off owing, which I needed to clear before I retired. And I felt I should come down to spend a few days with Steve and Candy, which is a great blessing for Pauline and I. But I also felt that I was meant to speak when we came. And I thought, well, I can't say hi, and can we speak? But then Steve said, we think you should speak when you come down. I'm going, oh, that's good. I must be hearing the Lord. So obviously, in the intervening weeks, I've been praying, okay, Lord, what is it you want us to say? And I really felt Jesus wanted to encourage you. He wanted to encourage you personally. And he wanted to encourage you as a community of saints. We had John Arnott in Winnipeg. It wasn't a big advertised gathering. It was a relatively small number of people. And we gathered there. The worship was really good. And John started to speak. And it was really about receiving the love of God. He really was saying to us, we really need to learn to receive the love of God. We may have it as head knowledge, but our loving Heavenly Father really wants us to receive His love. And he's getting into this, and suddenly he says, how many of you were around for Prairie Fire? Well, Prairie Fire was historic time in 1994, 1995 in Winnipeg, where God moved very powerfully. And a lot of people put their hands up. And he said, who'd like to come and testify what God did for you in Prairie Fire? And he called on a relatively young guy who must have been like 10 years old, and started to give testimony and prayed for him and goes down under the power. And then in Winnipeg, there's this precious saint. She's actually 75 years old. She looks like she's in her early 60s, but she's actually 75. And she starts to testify and he calls her out. Well, she hobbles out there, bent over with a cane. And she starts to testify wonderful things that God did for her back 15, 16 years ago. And John says, so what's up with you? And she said, oh, so many things. So he said, well, why are you came? Well, she said, I've torn the meniscus in my knee so I can't walk. She had a bandage all around her wrist. And he says, well, what sort of life have you had? And she said, oh, I've had an awful life until Jesus rescued me. She said, I was sexually abused from the age of 4. This went on a long time. And then he says, I'm sure you've forgiven. And she said, oh, yeah, I have forgiven. And he said, Yeah, I'm sure you have. But I want you just to release forgiveness again. Releasing forgiveness is so important to receiving God's love. So, he just leads her in a prayer. She releases forgiveness. She finishes the prayer and she said, "Oh, my knee's a lot better. I can bend my knee. I've got no pain." So, he says, "What's with the wrist?" She said, "Oh, I had carpal tunnel surgery in my left, and all was well, but when they did in the right, they snipped the nerve. I have no feeling in my hand." And he said, "Well, let's pray." So he started to pray. He said, "Oh, my hand's tingling. Oh, I can feel my fingers." He said, "Well, take the bandages off." Took the bandages off and said, "Oh, it's feeling better." He said, "Well, what sort of percentage would you say it's better?" He said, "Oh, 60 to 70%. Are you going to settle that?" "Oh, no." And as we watched and prayed, Jesus totally healed her wrist. She had total free movement. She had life to the end of her fingers. She could move it. And we're all really just going, "Whoa, thank you, Lord." We're just watching Jesus minister love to this precious lady. Then he said, "Well, why are you bent over?" And he says, well, that's the real problem. I have bulging discs and discs fused together." And he said, "Well, let's pray." Well, he started to pray and she went on the floor. Louis, can you come and hold the mic? You'll see why. So, she goes down, and he goes on praying for people, and getting them to release forgiveness. A lot of people really had serious pain because of car accidents. And then we touched on something where this lady said, "Well, I was responsible. I got what I deserved." And he then said, that so often is the biggest problem. We can release forgiveness, but forgiving ourselves. And he led that lady through. And next thing you know, she's got total movement, totally restored. The pain's gone. So it was hugely encouraging. Meanwhile, Marilyn's on the floor still. Well, Marilyn comes round and I go over to Marilyn and say, "How are you doing?" And she said, "Oh, I'm doing great. I mean, oh, I'm just overwhelmed with the love of God." So I help Marilyn up. And I pull her up off the floor. And she looks at me. Next thing I know, she's bouncing up and down. We are bouncing up and down like this. Now, remember two things. I'm 62. She's 75, and she went down on the floor with bulging discs, with vertebrae which were joined together. Well, people see this, and they're absolutely open-mouthed. She's overwhelmed with the love of God for her. And at 75, she's bouncing up and down, having just had the meniscus in her knee healed, the nerve restored in her wrist, the bulging discs put back into place, and the vertebrae reworked. But her main problem was all the emotional healing which she has needed. All the things she's been through and her family's been through. But the overwhelming message: receive the love of God. receive the love of God. And that really is what I came with. And then yesterday morning, Aaron and Norm were here. And they're from Winnipeg. Aaron administrates Consumed. Norm is the youth pastor of Gateway. And I pastor both those guys. So Steve and I came over. And whilst we were here, I came in to pray. And Rocky gave me some light. And I lay on the stage. And as I'm lying there, the Lord starts talking to me about healing. He wants to minister His love to you personally. And He has healing for you personally. But He wants you to be ministers of His love. He wants you to receive His love and to be ministers of His love. He wants every one of you, from the youngest to the oldest, and if you're over 75, you're obviously very much included. Jesus delights in healing older people. In our minds, we can say, well, they're old. That isn't how Jesus' mind works. Let me minister love to you. Because it isn't a problem, whatever it is to the Lord. He wants you to receive healing and He wants you to be ministers of healing. Live, live, live was the word of the Lord to us. God gives me various impressions. One is, how many of you suffer from migraines? Nobody suffers from migraines? Oh, we've got to. Really felt God wanted to minister whoever suffered with migraines. Enough is enough. God wants to minister His love and minister to you. So I go down the corridor and Aaron and Norm are finishing off. And Norm has a video camera. And he's been taking shots for a promotional video back in Winnipeg for Consumed. He focuses the camera on me and he says, here's one of the awesome speakers for Consumed. To which I said, oh yeah, I'm very much looking forward to speaking to discover what I've said. Well, the camera starts to shake because Norm's laughing even more than you are. And that's how I feel this morning. I'm eager to speak to discover what I'm going to say. So, go back to Steve and Candy's. And I go and sit outside in their sunny little portion there. And I believe God goes on speaking to me about ministering love and healing. Along the way, I feel Him saying, there will be communion. I want people to meet with me in communion. To which I'm going, okay, Lord, make a mental note. I'll have to talk to Steve because that'll have to be organized. Next thing I know, Steve draws up. I'm going, whoa, that was quick. Then at breakfast table this morning, we're having a conversation about who's leading worship. Bob and Kathy are away. But Bob will have organized it. It'll be fine. On the way here, Candy's still asking, I wonder who's leading worship. I know Bob will have organized it. So I come in here, and I see Bob leading worship, and I almost burst into tears. I don't usually burst into tears when I see Bob. Maybe some of you do, but I don't usually. The reason is, yesterday morning I had a vision of Bob leading worship, ministering healing into the body. And the conversation at breakfast table, and on the way here I'm sort of going, okay, I must have got that wrong. And here you are, ministering healing into the body. It's the spirit of worship and it's the words of worship. And all this was a huge encouragement to me that Jesus knew exactly where we would be this morning. You know, being there when Candy got the phone call, drive Candy to the crash site. There's Steve sitting quietly. And the ambulance takes him to the hospital and then going to the hospital and meeting John. And then we discover that a passenger in the other vehicle had died. Evidently she had other very serious medical conditions, which explained a lot. But the whole message is Jesus knew all about where we would be this morning. Jesus wants to minister his love to you personally. In Luke 4, he goes to Nazareth, takes the scroll from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to minister to the brokenhearted, proclaim release to the captives, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord, to release those who are oppressed. And we read that all the eyes of the people are on him. But then he starts saying things which they don't want to hear from the history of the Jewish people, particularly healing, cleansing of lepers. They get so angry they want to throw him off the cliff, and he walks through them. And later in Luke 4, he goes to Capernaum, ministers to the people in Capernaum. He speaks with authority. There's somebody who's demon possessed, the demon goes, "Ha! I know who you are. You're the Son of God." Jesus commands the demon to be quiet. Cast the demon out. And the people are amazed. "We've never heard anything like this. This man speaks with authority." There's such a contrast between how Jesus is received at Nazareth, where he's known. They were just too familiar for them to receive the truth through him. He goes where he's not known, and they're amazed. Then it says he leaves the synagogue, and you can read this later part of Luke 4. Goes to Simon Peter's house, whose mother-in-law is really sick with a high fever. Laid low. Worst possible moment, she's got guests, and important guests. But Jesus is so personable. He so ministers love to individuals. He goes to Simon's mother-in-law, rebukes the fever. The fever goes, and next thing you know, she's serving them. And then word spread. And the people crowd around. And it says, Jesus laid hands on them and he healed them. Don't fall into the trap of being so familiar with Jesus you cannot receive from him afresh. Don't be trapped by the past. Don't be trapped by previous expectations. Don't be trapped. So a few years ago, we're in Kenya. We're speaking at a conference. We set off. We're in the taxi, playing Christian music. Suddenly this song comes on. I am a wiener. I am a wiener. In Jesus' name, I am a wiener. I'm going, what? I am a wiener? Then we realize, oh, it's the local accent. I am a winner. I am a winner. In Jesus' name, I am a winner. Well, Pauline and I, we've lost it. The taxi driver looks and said, oh, you really like this song? He turns it up louder. I enjoyed singing this morning because we were really singing, I am a loser. I am a loser. We didn't sing those words, but we lose. And I'm going, our culture, one of the things which toughest swear words is, you're a loser. And I'm going, I'm happily a loser. I choose to be a loser. Because by being choosing to be a loser, I gain Christ. I gain all that He is. I am indeed a winner. It's just not how the world does it. Embrace who He is. We heard that. It was the body ministering healing to the body this morning. Just thank you for those who shared. There was just so much love. There was so much truth. But if you read on, Luke 4, Luke 5, Luke 6, and Luke 7. I think it's Luke 7, because there's teaching in between. But in Luke 7, he's invited into Simon's house. Not Simon Peter, another Simon. I think he's a scribe or a Pharisee. They're there. He's entertaining Jesus. He's invited Jesus to his home. Whilst they're there, this woman comes in. Obviously, tearful. Obviously, one of those women. And she kneels down and starts wiping Jesus' feet with her hair. And Simon, highly important Simon, is thinking to himself, well, if he were a prophet, he'd know who this woman is. So, he can't be for real. And Jesus looks at him and says, Simon, let's consider a few things. When I came into your house, did you wash my feet, wipe my feet? Meaning, did you get a servant to do it? Because that was customary hospitality. They're saying, you didn't do that. But this woman, she's washed my feet with her tears. And he's drying them off, not with a towel, but with her hair. How low a place. But she says, Simon. Then he tells Simon a parable about two people. One was forgiven quite a sum of money. The other was forgiven a huge sum of money. He asked Simon a question. Who do you think was forgiven the most? Simon Simon, if the story had taken place today, would have said, well, I guess it's the guy who was forgiven the billions of dollars. And Jesus says, Simon, you got that right. This lady knows that she has been forgiven much. This lady knows she is in great need of great forgiveness. But knowing that she has been forgiven much, she loves much. But then he doesn't point the finger, but he does really. He says, Simon, those who've been forgiven little, love little. Those who have been forgiven much, love much. That's why, folks, forgiveness is a big deal. The truth is, we have all been forgiven billions, trillions of dollars worth of sin. That is the truth. Our challenge is getting in touch with the enormity of the forgiveness which we have personally received through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a release to receiving His love and being ministers of His love. Well, I can do that for others, but forgiving myself? So we're talking about this at the lunch table, about how hard it is to forgive ourselves. And next thing you know, Steve is faced with this challenge. And Steve is receiving the forgiveness of the Lord. And Steve is personally going through forgiving himself. But I know God spoke to me like He spoke to you. Part of why Steve is going through this is that Steve and Candy have always been used to minister healing to lots and lots of people. But Jesus is committed for all of us to know Jesus far more than we do now. This is part of Steve and Candy knowing Jesus far more than they currently do. And Jesus is asking us, will you receive so much more of my love? I have so much more of my love for you personally. Far more than you have even experienced in the past. And I have so much more forgiveness to release to you. As you release forgiveness, especially as you forgive yourself, don't be trapped by any type of unforgiveness. You get snared. He whom been forgiven little, loves little. But she who has been forgiven much, loves much. And the truth is, we all need so much more of the love of God personally. But we are surrounded by people who are in desperate, desperate need of receiving the love of God and forgiveness. The church in Canada is really committed to standing with you good folks in the United States as you go through your days, weeks, months, years of challenges. We're committed to standing together. God's spoken to us very clearly in Canada about this. It's been very sobering. But it's part of God joining the body of Christ together in this continent and around the globe. And it's ministering healing. It's ministering love. It's releasing forgiveness. So, what I feel is, if we can bring communion forward and just want to spend time and saying Jesus is releasing healing and encouragement to you, but it's the overwhelming love of God which He really has for you and your family. You've released forgiveness in the past, but it feels like God saying, release forgiveness afresh. Steve, in conversation over the years, says that from Luke 4 or Isaiah 61, we get oppressed when people sin against us. Releasing forgiveness frees us as well as frees them. Forgiving ourselves frees us from the trap that we're too difficult for Jesus. It's a lie. He wants to free us and release us all forms of oppression. And He wants to minister healing. And He wants to use you to minister healing to one another. It's the body receiving love. And I was sitting there going, that was such a profound picture of the caterpillars turning into the butterfly. You are not who you think you are. That is the message. So many of us just think we're caterpillars. We're not. We are the glorious children of the living God. Live, live, live. Receive His love. So, who was playing the drums? Would you like to stand up? What's your name? Who are you related to around here? James, I'm sitting quietly there and before the meeting, and suddenly I look at you and going, who is this guy? Suddenly, James, I see such a call of God on your life. I suspected that it looked like the Von Macoons up there, which they're a great blessing. But I thought, well, if he's one of Rocky's offspring, that would be good, because the Lord says to you, you are a rock. And I'm going to build on you. You will be a pillar. And then in the worship, you gave yourself away. And whether you noticed, suddenly the drummer takes off. And the worship leader looks around. And Bob and I make eye contact. Yeah. See, you were caught up in the Spirit. There was a release of the Spirit through you. There was a breakthrough. We have a new vehicle. Very grateful. Problem in Winnipeg, it's flat. And so, it runs into such a point. We go on holiday in BC, and they have big cardboard cutouts everywhere. They call them mountains. So it's a joke between my friend and BC and I. Well, suddenly we're in third gear and second gear and going up long mountain passes. Not quite as bad as Beartooth over the Absarokas, but... Well, do you know what happens next? My gas mileage dramatically improves. Yeah, go figure. Well, I don't know the technicalities, but my engine had learned to operate within a certain sphere. Suddenly, it was being revved far beyond where it had been revved before. Steve will give the explanation. He's a physicist. But you know what? We need to be revved far beyond where we've been revved before. The power of God really wants to move through you and me far beyond what we've experienced before. And James gave himself away. Who he is was coming out. But what happened was, there was a certain level of familiarity in the worship. It was nice. It was good. It was healing. But what we needed breakthrough. And God uses people for breakthrough. That's what happened with James. And his dad was going, whoa, that took me by surprise, but yeah. And you see, that for me was a picture about live. Are you willing to receive far more of the love of God for you personally? Or do you just want to settle? Are you willing to receive healing? Are you willing to believe I'm going to take a risk? I've been prayed for before. I've heard it talked about, but I'm too difficult. Are you willing to release forgiveness again? Are you willing for God to go deeper in you? Are you willing to be a winner in Christ? Are you willing to forgive yourself? Are you willing to say, Lord, I know I don't deserve forgiveness, but I receive forgiveness. And I forgive myself those stupid things I've done. Are you willing? Then, I know you are as a body. But Jesus is saying, those who have been forgiven much, love much. You are called to be ministers of the love of God to a broken, hurting people who don't even know it. You are called to be ministers of reconciliation, reconciling people back to their loving Heavenly Father. You are those who are called to be image breakers. People have an image of what their Heavenly Father is like, and it's usually distorted image according to what their earthly father was like. Are you willing to be image breakers and saying, your image of God is wrong. This is who your Heavenly Father is really like. Are you willing to be ministers of healing, to step out in faith and say, you know what? Jesus loves you so much, He wants to heal you. He wants to set you free. So look, I also had a vision of Cozzy praying for people to be healed. I looked around and she wasn't there. I go, okay, I guess I got that one wrong as well. And then she appeared. Which I was very grateful. You see, my sense is being Jesus is orchestrating things here. All I'm really doing is telling you what He's doing. And I trust along the way You have been receiving love and faith. I trust along the way you have been receiving love and forgiveness. We heard of the word of the Lord through Cindy. Live, 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 live. And if we believe, we will prepare. And so, let me just take a few minutes. And personally pray and say, Jesus, I want to receive the overwhelming love of my Heavenly Father. I receive your love. For me personally, you've come to minister love to me personally. I know it in my head. I know it a bit in my heart. But I open myself up afresh to receive your love. To receive your love. Father, I open myself up to receive your love. And as I do that, I go on releasing forgiveness. I forgive those who've wounded me. I forgive those who've sinned against me. I forgive those who've sinned against my family. I forgive those who've wounded my family. And Father, I receive your forgiveness. I receive your forgiveness. It's totally undeserved. I receive your forgiveness. Jesus, I forgive myself. I forgive myself. You know, I've walked around feeling guilty, shamed, and blaming myself. And Father, I give that to you, and I receive your forgiveness for me. And I agree with you. Father, I agree with the Lord Jesus Christ. He has forgiven me and break the bondage which has trapped me and saying, I can never forgive myself for that. Free me. I receive your love. I receive your overwhelming love. And now, Jesus, I receive your healing. Jesus, I receive your healing. And as far as you're able, if you just put your hand on wherever. Lord, we break the power of those migraines. Lord, I felt intense pain of those migraines. We break it. Lord, whatever's caused that, whether it's oppression, chemical imbalance, whatever, we break the power of those migraines. Jesus' name. Lord, for all those who have been injured in car crashes, release your healing power. Release your healing power. Lord, whether it's back pain, neck pain, shoulders, the power of the living God, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, heal those muscles, tendons, ligaments, scar tissues. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, those who are afflicted by disease, we rebuke the disease in Jesus' name. Jesus, you're here. You rebuke Simon Peter's mother-in-law's fever and it went. And we rebuke these diseases. Because you're merciful, compassionate, kind, good, tender-hearted. So often we read, you were moved with compassion. And Lord, right here, right now, you are moving through us with tender-hearted mercy and compassion and gentleness. Lord, people with congenital defects, Lord, minister through their DNA. Go through that in Jesus' name. Lord, people who have hernia pain, heal that in Jesus' name. Heal that. Lord, irritable bowels, heal that in Jesus' name. Lord, just go on touching. But Jesus, you know there is so much relational pain. So many of us trapped in relational pain because of rejection, relational breakdown, disappointment. Break the power of disappointment and regret. Break the disappointments. And Jesus, we confess we are disappointed in you. Jesus, we confess we are disappointed in you. We expected so much more. We prayed and we think nothing happened. Lord, forgive us. We repent of being disappointed in you. And Lord, your enemy came in and told us it's because he doesn't love you. Your enemy told us that lie. It's because he doesn't love you. He says he does, but he doesn't really. When things get tough, he doesn't come through for you. He'll do it for other people, but he won't do it for you. It's because he doesn't love you. Lord, we repent of believing those lies. We repent where we prayed for our children and grandchildren and nothing happened. For our parents and nothing happened. Forgive us, Lord, for believing the lie that you don't love us. Free us, Lord. And we embrace your love. We embrace your love. We thank you, Jesus, for your loving kindness and great love. Some of you have back pain because one leg is shorter than the other. And after communion, if that's you, if you suffer from back pain, or if you know you have one leg shorter than the other, we prayed for this at the conference, but God was talking to me about this during the week. If you go and sit over there, we'll pray. Or similarly, if you've got one arm shorter than another, we'll pray. So, as you're ready, if you'd like to come, receive communion. Rocky and John will bless you in that. Then, can you find one another and pray for one another? Bless one another and release healing. And release forgiveness. I know that sounds vague, but that's the most specific instructions I've got. Which has to do with my ability to hear, not the Lord's ability to speak. But as you're ready, come and receive and then find one another. Pray, bless, release love, release healing. Okay? So Jesus, over to you, Lord. These are your people who you love dearly, dearly. These precious people who you love, who you've brought here for such a time as this to meet with you, to receive your love, receive your healing, and who are going to go out of this place of ministers of love and healing wherever they are, wherever they go. So thank you, Jesus. Okay, take your time. As you're ready, come and receive. And then find one another. Pray. Release. This is an important part of the morning. You praying together is a very important part of the morning. God bless.